Let's turn to our scripture reading for today's sermon. We're going to be looking at the book of Isaiah, Old Testament book of Isaiah, and we're going to be reading from chapter 49 and verses 13 through 17. If you have your Bibles, you can follow along as I read, and the passage is also going to be displayed on the screen behind me. Having trouble with this page here. Thin pages. Okay. Isaiah chapter 49, verses 13 through 17. Shout for joy, you heavens. Rejoice, you earth. Burst into song, you mountains, for the Lord comforts his people and will have compassion on his afflicted ones. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. Your children hasten back, and those who laid you waste depart from you. This is God's word. Good to see you all this morning, and especially to our wonderful moms. Happy Mother's Day. A few years ago, I came across a rather funny article that another high school friend of mine had shared on Facebook, and the article was entitled, 27 Signs You Were Raised by Asian Immigrant Parents, right? Now, I know that not all of us here are Asian, but I think many of us will still find some of these to be funny, and so basically, I am laughing at my own culture, and you have permission to laugh at our culture, okay? You might even be able to relate to some of these things. Reading through some of these signs brought back all kinds of memories from my own childhood. And so at the very least, you're going to be hearing just a little bit of my own story growing up. Here are a few of the signs of being raised by Asian immigrant parents that stuck out for me, at least. On vacations, your parents took photos like this. Note the squat. Actually, I think my parents, my kids think this about me when we go on trips. They're very annoyed. Here's another sign. Your parents coached you on starving before a buffet and gorging on only ribeye and lobsters. Seafood phobes were dead weight in buffet Olympics. I actually think this still happens. When I go to a certain buffet in Downers Grove, I won't name the place, but man, that crab leg line is like every person for himself. Like, get out of my way, and I don't want anything else. another sign. Some distant cousin or family friend's son or daughter is always being trotted out as a paragon of perfection that you're falling short of. This happened to me. Okay. This kid is a valedictorian and got into all these schools with full scholarships, and he can play every instrument very well. He's better than his teachers. And he's a good Christian, too. He goes to church, and he's the youth group president, all that stuff. Yeah. Me, on the other hand, well, yeah. The dishwasher was used only as a drying rack. This happened to me. I didn't know what the real purpose of a dishwasher was until after college, because my sister said, you know, you can wash the dishes in there. You don't just do it by hand and then stick it in there to dry. But I had no idea what that appliance was growing up. It was just kind of this fixture under the counter, and it was never used, never turned on. This happened to me a lot, this next one, growing up in the western suburbs. People always assume that you're related to another Lee Chung Yuen Hong Kim that they know. Do you know him? Sorry, I don't know him. It's kind of a common name, but no. Maybe if I saw his face, but no. I'm a second-generation Korean-American. I was born here, but raised by parents who both moved here before they even met and got married. They got married after they met here. In Korea, there is a special holiday called Parents' Day that honors both mom and dad. And this year's Parents' Day was this past Wednesday, as it happens. Today is obviously Mother's Day in America, and I think it's actually a good thing for us to shine the spotlight on the moms. Because I really believe that a mother's love is unique in its depth and its intensity, and motherhood is a special role for many reasons. And I think many of us would agree that mom is perhaps the most important part of a family's everyday life. This is one reason why I think Jane, she used to get a bit anxious when our kids were younger and she had to leave home for a few days for like a conference or some kind of retreat or something, even for like a night. I don't know if she was fully confident that everything would still be in one piece when she got home, and so that's why she had to plan out the food menus. This is what you serve for breakfast. This is what you serve for lunch. This is what you serve for dinner. Next day, what you serve for breakfast, what you serve for lunch. It's all like packaged and labeled. She had to lay out their clothing Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then extra. She'd tell me exactly where the medicine was, and I'm pretty sure she kept her phone close by in case there was an emergency. And this is also why it feels like the world is going to come to an end if mom gets sick. It's one thing if dad gets like a paper cut or a little cough. You know, I can't do anything. But if mom gets a migraine or the stomach flu or something worse, it's game over. I guess all I'm trying to say here with all this is to all the moms here, our hats off. Today isn't just a money-making opportunity for florists or greeting card companies. Today gives us the rare opportunity to show you just a little bit of the appreciation that you deserve. And this morning, my goal as a pastor is to affirm how important you are to your family and to your God. There's an expression in the English language that goes, "A picture is worth a thousand words." Perhaps the most significant role a mom can play for her kids is the unique way that she can be a picture of God's love for his people. We see this in our passage this morning. We read it earlier, but let me read it for us again. Isaiah 49, verse 13 says, "Shout for joy, you heavens. Rejoice, you earth. Burst into song, you mountains, for the Lord comforts his people and will have compassion on his afflicted ones." But Zion said, "The Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. Your children hasten back, and those who laid you waste depart from you." You know, it's interesting. The Bible often portrays God in masculine terms. God is usually described as our Father, and that's how Jesus addressed him and prayed to him, and he encourages his followers to do the same. We talked about that in my recent series on the Lord's Prayer. But there are a few times when the Bible speaks of God in more feminine terms, and our passage this morning from Isaiah 49 is one such instance. Now, let me first set the historical context, because I think that will give us a better idea of what's going on here. Isaiah was a prophet who served in a time when the nation of Judah, God's people, was going through a slow and steady slide, a slow and steady political and spiritual decline. The glory days of King David and King Solomon were a distant memory, and as God's chosen nation was getting weaker, some of the surrounding nations were growing stronger. And God soon revealed to Isaiah that one of those surrounding countries, one of their neighbors, Babylon, would become the instrument of his judgment on his people for their rebellion and sin. And God was warning Isaiah, it's going to be bad. It's going to be bad. After the Babylonian army is done having its way, the city's going to be destroyed, the temple's going to be burned to the ground, and the city's people are going to be carried off on a forced march into exile. It's going to be bad. In fact, it's going to be so bad that it's going to make God's people wonder if he has forgotten about them. And Isaiah has something important to say about that as well. Yes, it's going to be bad for a while, but one day it will get better. It will get a lot better. God is going to bring his people back home. Things may seem hopeless for a while, but one day God will rescue them and he will bring them back home and he will place them back in the city and they will rebuild their walls and they will reconstruct their temple. The point of all this is that God is relentlessly devoted, relentlessly committed to his people, even when it doesn't seem like it. And to drive that point further home, he uses an analogy that almost any human being can relate to. His people are accusing him of abandoning them, and God replies to the question, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? God refers to what is perhaps the most intense human love in the world, and that is the love between a mother and her nursing child. I have no personal experience with this, of course, and I don't want to stumble into any debates about breastfeeding. I know that that's a very personal choice, and it depends on a lot of circumstances, not least the infant's ability to latch. But what I have heard is that for moms who do choose to breastfeed, the emotional bond is like no other human relationship. And so the obvious answer to God's question here, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? The obvious answer is, of course not. You can't even imagine something like that happening. But let's assume for a moment that it does happen. Okay? I'm sure we can all think of stories where we've heard of moms actually abandoning their own kids or doing something similar. Okay? We only need to think of that heartbreaking news that recently came out of Crystal Lake about AJ Friend, the 5-year-old boy who died tragically due to abuse from his own mother and father. So yes, it can happen. And I think stories like that become news because it seems almost impossible to imagine that something like that could possibly happen. But it can happen. A mother can abandon or abuse her own children. And God says to his people, even if that happens, even though she forgets, I will not forget you. In other words, God's love and God's care for his people transcends even the most powerful, the most permanent human love that we can know, that between a mother and her child. Our prayer for our children, not just our own flesh and blood, but all the kids here in this church, our prayer is that they would be able to truly know the depth and the intensity and the magnitude of God's love for them. Of course, this can happen when they learn more about the Bible through their personal reading and their involvement in ministries like RCC Kids or our youth group. And yes, we are very committed to teaching the Bible here, and we make no apologies about that. But my encouragement and my challenge for all of us, and especially to our wonderful moms here, is that you would see your unique role in helping our kids experience God's love. I hope one day our kids will be able to say, I didn't just read about God's love on my own. I didn't just learn about God's love at my church. I saw it. I saw God's love through the way that my mom loved me. I witnessed it firsthand through her instinctive willingness to sacrifice her time and her energy and her comfort for me and for my siblings. And what a blessing that would be. To all the moms here, you are so important. So important for so many reasons. I hope you already know this. I hope you already feel this today of all days. But I hope you can also see that you can be perhaps the most vivid illustration of God's love for his people. You can take your kids' knowledge of God from the realm of theory and make it real and personal through the way that you care for them. What could be more important than that? What privilege could be greater than that? And along these lines, I want to encourage you to also continually point your children to God. Don't hesitate to remind them again and again and again of how much you love them, but of how much greater God's love for them is than even your love. Don't be afraid to admit that even if your love for them is imperfect, His love is perfect. Even if your love would ever fail, God's love will never fail. If I could offer one final thought, you know that page I mentioned earlier about the idiosyncrasies of Asian immigrant parents? Well, here's the last one I mentioned. And yes, it also brought back memories of my own childhood. Your parents gave you everything they had and spent nothing on themselves. They know firsthand the dangers of the world, and their work isn't done until they see you settled and safe. My mom still does this for me. How many people came last Sunday? What was your offering? I'm still praying for you. Do you need any money? Mom, I don't need money. Please. She still asks me that. I'm 45. There's anything that shows love that parents have for their kids, especially a mother's love, it's a willingness to sacrifice for their kids. And that's really a reflection of God's love for His people, of His love for you and for me. Those of us who are parents here, many if not all of us, be willing to do anything and sacrifice everything for our kids. And God did sacrifice everything for you and for me. He gave His one and only Son so that you and I could be forgiven and saved. This is why the Bible tells us in the New Testament, this is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. That is love. Let's pray together. You know, before I pray, I know that many of us here, you're like me, you have very fond memories of your parents and moms in particular, but I also know that for others of us here, our relationship with our parents, and specifically with our moms, has been a source of deep frustration and maybe even pain. And so in the midst of, you know, the flowers and the cards and the meals and the celebrating, I know for some of us, this may actually not be the easiest day for you. The simple fact is we live in a broken world, like the new song we sang, and there is no picture that's perfect. And so before I pray, I want to just encourage all of us here to pray for the moms here. If you could pray that God will give each of them just a powerful sense of His approval as they try to live out this high and difficult calling. And maybe some of us can start by praying for our own moms if they're still alive and well. I know some of our moms have passed away, and so that's another reason why today might be a bit hard, because it reminds you of them and you miss them terribly. As I mentioned in our call to worship, Psalm 147, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and heals our wounds. You can pray and thank God for the wonderful memories you have of your mom. But if your mom's still alive and well, pray for your mother. Pray that your mom would know and personally experience God's love for themselves. They may not feel like they're doing the best job illustrating God's love to their kids, but pray that He would encourage them nonetheless. Okay. Let's take some time to pray for all the moms here, for our moms in particular, and then I'll close in prayer. Okay, just want to invite us to take the next couple moments to pray on our own. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your love, Your steadfast, sacrificial love for your wandering, wayward people like us. And as I speak personally, Lord, I thank you for all of the moms here. I pray that you will bless them in such a way so that they would feel your affirmation, your approval, and they would be encouraged to point their children to you today and every day. Father, we also pray for all the friends here for whom today might bring back some difficult, even painful memories because of difficult relationships with our own moms or as mothers, difficult relationships that we may be having with our kids. For those of us whose moms have passed on and we miss terribly today, for any friends who have lost children, for any friends who have tried to have kids but have not been able to for reasons that only you truly know, we commit these dear friends to you. Pray that they too will know your deep, profound love and comfort and hope. Jesus, we thank you that you were willing to be abandoned on the cross as you bore the penalty of sin, so that when we put our faith in you, we can be fully confident that our God will never truly abandon or forget about us, no matter how bad things may seem. And we rest in the unshakable hope that you will come back one day and make everything new. Until then, help us all, mothers and otherwise, help us to point the way to you through our words and through our deeds. Would you help us, Lord? We thank you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen.